discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Those lyrics are the heart of Chain Breaker, the number one hit song from Zach Williams that's been taking over radio playlists across the country. The journey behind his soulful music is one of a childhood in church, a season of youthful wandering, and the power of redemption. We discover it today as we welcome the man himself on the road. A great day to you, Zach. Thanks for taking the time to share with us, brother.
Hey, man, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. What does life look like for you today as we begin? I mean, you're a family man, a recording artist, a touring artist, a worship pastor, and I know you do much more beside at your church. How do you sort of keep all the plates in the air these days, brother?
Yeah, man, it's been pretty busy, but I'll be honest, I've been home since the 19th of December, so I've had some time off, and it's been nice to just be with my family and hang out with my kids. And I've gone to the church and led a couple Sundays since I've been home. I led Christmas Day and New Year's Day, and then done a little bit of work, but right now I'm actually sitting on my bed upstairs doing an interview. So it's a pretty relaxing day. Me and my wife just went and had some hot wings. Our kids are at school, and we're just chilling out today.
Oh, man, that is a good day. That is a good day right there. Well, yeah. This message of your single is resonating so deeply with people who listen, and you've said that Chainbreaker was a real effort to reach folks who are in a place of struggle in life. Can you take us inside the song, if you would, and how it came to be?
Yeah. So for me, I mean, I'll be honest, the day that we wrote the song, I was coming toward the end of a week-long writing trip that I'd been in Nashville. And at the time, I'd only made maybe three or four trips to Nashville to write. And this was probably the longest trip I'd made at the time. So I was kind of missing my family. I was ready to get back home. At the time, I didn't have a record deal with Sony. I'd just been invited over to write some songs for Provident, you know, and see what would happen. And I was pretty nervous about the day because I had written with Jonathan Smith before, but I'd never met Mia Fields. I knew the song she had written. I knew that she, you know, was part of the Hillsong movement. And she was, you know, a great songwriter. So I felt very unprepared going into the songwrite that day. Like, I felt like I didn't have anything that I was bringing into it as far as lyric-wise or melodies or anything. So I was kind of nervous about the whole thing. And I just remember the first time we met, we all just kind of sat and talked. I mean, we literally probably talked for almost 2 hours before we even started working on a song, just getting to know each other. I was just sharing my testimony with her. You know, she was sharing her testimony with me. Jonathan was kind of doing the same. And we started talking about prison ministry that at the time me and my wife were pretty involved in at the church that I work at. And she said, "You should write a song called Chainbreaker." I thought, just kind of jokingly, you know, she just said that. And I thought, hadn't that been done? Like, isn't there the Break Every Chain song? And she's like, "Yeah," but she said, "There's not been one called Chainbreaker." And I was like, "Really?" And so I loved it. I mean, just the title alone was so strong and so big that I thought, man, how do we write a song basically around the title, you know? And we just started sitting there, and we were thinking about how many truths and how many things we could pack into one song about who God is and what he's done in our own lives and what he can do in other people's lives. And so I think Jonathan grabbed a piano and we started messing around with a melody, and I came up with that first verse. You know, I was just thinking about my own past and where I'd been. You know, if you've been walking down the same old road for miles and miles, it just kind of sounded different, and we loved it, and we kept going with it, and we kind of all had a hand in writing a part of that chorus. And by the time we were done, it literally, in 25 minutes later, we had a song wrote, and we were just kind of sitting there like, wow, that was easy. It's not supposed to be that easy, you know. And I just remember driving back to Arkansas after that. I was so excited about that song and really felt like it was going to be special. And it really began to be, for me, a prayer that God would just use this song to open up the door for me in this industry and in this Christian market, because, you know, I had heard a song on the radio a few years prior that had really changed my life. And I wanted to be able to return the favor and write a song that could potentially change other people's lives and help them through situations that they were going through. And so I just started praying every time I would drive back and forth to Nashville that God would take the song and use it to speak to people from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, and really reach people who were lost or struggling. And then the song came out and the record label heard it and offered me a record deal just off of the demo that they heard one day in a meeting. And when we released the song, it just, I mean, it blew up, and it's been amazing to just kind of be on the front lines of a prayer that I prayed literally like less than a year ago that God would use the song, and to see him take it and move this fast. It's just been, it's been really humbling. It's been very, I mean, it's just been overwhelming, honestly, to be a part of something like this. And just to know that I'm just, I mean, a small part of it, you know, that God's really the one doing it. I mean, I feel like a song like that, you know, we wrote it so quick. It was nothing short of, you know, God's hand at work in that, you know, room with three people. It's just like we're, you know, two or more gathered in his name. He's with us. And for me, I felt like that day when we wrote that song that God was definitely in that room. You know, he was just as much a part of that song as we were. And so that's kind of how the song came about, and it's taken off, and it really, it's blown me away how well it's been received, and the emails and phone calls and text messages and just letters and stuff that I get from people all the time telling me what the song's doing and seeing on social media. It's really mind-blowing.
Well, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense that a song that has been so powerful, as you described, to so many would have an amazing story like that. The voice of Zach Williams, you hear there, the recording artist. The number one hit song, Chainbreaker, is his. Worship leader and a man with a great story of what God can do when we listen to his call as well. Well, now that we've expressed a lot of the great things God is doing in your life right now, I wonder if you'll head with me back to where your story opened, Zach. Reading about your hometown of Jonesboro, Arkansas, I understand that it was not too far away from images we may have of Andy Griffith's Mayberry. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, I grew up in a little bitty town, 1,200 people. Everybody knew everybody. Actually, when I was a kid, my grandparents owned a Phillips 66 station that was on the interstate, and it was like the only gas station in town. And so, you know, everybody kind of knew everybody, and they knew everybody's business. You know, I grew up in a family. My dad had three brothers, or two brothers, and my mom had three brothers. And, you know, everybody was into sports. And, you know, I had a lot of that type of stuff that I felt like as a kid I needed to live up to. When your dad and your uncle, you know, play basketball and they make the all-star team in high school, and you kind of have dreams of being that and wanting to do that. So for me, as a kid growing up in a small town, I really thought that playing sports would be my ticket, you know, to something bigger down the road. And, you know, I strive to be, you know, my dream was to play professional basketball, and really tried to excel in that through my junior high and high school years. Unfortunately, I got involved in, you know, the wrong crowd, and, you know, drugs, alcohol, just lifestyle things that I didn't need to be involved in, which was, for me, really not the way I'd been raised, because my dad led worship in church, my mom sang at church, and pretty much everything as a child and a young, even a young adult growing up, revolved around going to church on Sunday and Wednesday and being a part of, you know, a church of some sort. And when I got to experimenting with that stuff in high school and, you know, turned to that instead of turning to the Lord, I feel like I feel like I'd had an encounter or an experience with God at a young age, and felt like I had, you know, big plans for my life. And I don't know if that scared me or the conviction that I had being in church after I started messing around with drugs and alcohol is what kept me from going back. But I didn't like that feeling that I had after I went back into churches when I was 17, 18 years old, and had this conviction over my life of, like, I knew what I was doing was wrong. So I just stayed away from it, and I ran from it for a long time. Ended up losing a scholarship my senior year and quitting high school because of some bad choices that I made. And I pretty much sat a year out of school after that, trying to decide what I was going to do with my life, and ended up meeting a guy while I was playing in a men's league basketball that actually got me a full ride scholarship to a junior college. And I moved off to college 3 hours away and had no accountability. Had, you know, my parents sending me a check, and I had a bunch of guys coming from other schools who were pretty much just like I was, who were experiencing this newfound freedom, and everybody was this hotshot all-star from their school. And, you know, everybody was, it was just like a bunch of guys constantly trying to outdo each other every night, which for me at the time, my personality, that just fueled me to live 100% harder. And so whatever was around, I was involved in it, whether that was good or bad. You know, I wanted to be the best at it. And it wasn't really a healthy lifestyle for me. My first few years of college, I tore my ankle up the day before my first basketball game in college and couldn't play anymore. My roommate came down and had a guitar, and it sat in the corner of our apartment for the first year. And the next year I decided I was going to teach myself how to play that guitar. And I fell in love with, you know, writing songs and playing guitar, and just the idea that you could put what you're going through in a song was, to me, something that I really, you know, enjoyed. And I started writing songs and playing music for anybody and everybody that would listen. I played at people's apartments or people's garages, or, you know, anywhere I could go. I carried a guitar around with me for about 10 years and just playing anywhere and everywhere. And, you know, got myself involved in a lot of bad situations. And it wasn't until 2012, I'd been touring for about 6 or 7 years with a band. We'd been to Europe once, and we'd gone to Japan, and we had toured all over the U.S. just playing, you know, dive bars and clubs. And me and my wife were really at, you know, a breaking point in our marriage. She had two small kids when we met, and I was trying to be a stepdad, and I wasn't being a very good one at the time. And then we had a little boy, and then she got pregnant with our daughter right before I left to go to Europe in 2012. And we were just at this point in our life where, if something didn't change, you know, we weren't going to make it. I didn't want to see my kids, you know, growing up with somebody else being their dad. And I knew it was time to do something different.
Zach Williams is with us on the road, the recording artist behind the number one hit Chainbreaker, as well as a worship leader, a man with a great story of what God can do when we listen to his call. And just when you come to this moment where you don't believe you can go on as you have been, there is this invitation to go to church.
Actually, the guitar player in my band at the time had gotten an invite to go to this humongous church in the town that I live in now. It's not a really big town. It's about 65,000-70,000 people, but the church was big and it had about 7,000 members. And I just remember thinking, I would never go to that church, you know, because it's big. It's not what I grew up in. And
sure.
I just remember walking into it for the first time and feeling like it's exactly where I'm supposed to be, and feeling so at home and so welcome, and the staff and the pastors and people just poured out to us and kind of latched on to me and my wife and kids. And we got involved in life groups and anything and everything that we could get ourselves involved in, and just kind of taking it all in, because I'd grown up in church my whole life and I knew everything about the Bible and who God was and what he had done for me. I had it all in my head. I just didn't have any of it in my heart. I wouldn't live it. You know, if you'd have asked me, I would have told you I was a Christian, but there was nothing in my life that represented you know, being a Christian.
Sure.
So I left to go on tour about a month after going to church. We'd been going to this church for about a month, and I convinced myself that I could go on tour and stay clean and stay good, and, you know, everything was going to be all right. But as soon as I got away from home, I fell right back into the old lifestyle. And I did that for about a week while we were over there. And one day we were driving across Europe, and I heard Big Daddy Weave's song Redeemed come across the radio station in our van we were driving in. And it just stopped me dead in my tracks. And it was like that moment for me where God just spoke and said, this is, you know, I've given you a gift to use it. And is this what you're going to use it for? You know? And I called my wife from a hotel room when we got to the place we were going, and I told her that when the tour was over, I was going to quit my band and cancel our shows. And I think it was a God moment for sure, because I'm pretty sure that night before she had told my mom and dad that she couldn't do it anymore and that we were going to get a divorce. And
wow. So
when I called her and told her that, it kind of changed things. And I came home and I did exactly that. I quit my band, canceled our shows, and I just kind of fell on the floor and asked for forgiveness from her, from my, you know, from my family, from my kids, and waited until she got ready to go to work that day and just found a quiet place in the house. And it was really the first time in my life I'd done the whole fall on your hands and knees and surrender and just, you know, cried out to God and said, I can't do this anymore. You know, I can't do it on my own. I've tried. You know, I continue to fail at everything I do, and I want something different for my life. And, you know, if you'll take me and use me as I am, I want what you want for me. And it was really the first time in my life after that prayer that I felt a peace about my life, and I didn't feel like I needed all these other things in my life to make me feel good anymore. And I just kind of stepped back from music for about 6 months and didn't do anything. I was working for my dad's construction company and just kind of going to church and seeing what God had in store for me. And that's really how all of this stuff kind of came about. I mean, I was honestly content with my life, living it the way I was, going to church, just being fed the word every week, for the first time in a really good relationship with my wife and kids. And they asked me to be a part of a new church plant that they were wanting to launch a new campus at the church. And they had been watching my family for about 6 months and saw the changes in our lives and wanted to know if I wanted to be a part of it and wanted to help them reach people who were maybe going through some of the same things I'd gone through, or, you know, been offended at another church or never found their place. Could we launch a campus that would just reach out to those people? And I said, well, let me talk to my wife and pray about it, because, you know, I don't necessarily know that I'm a worship leader. I didn't feel like a worship leader. And so me and my wife talked about it, and I was like, you know, I really feel like this is God opening the door, you know. And the cool thing about it was I'd worked for my dad for almost 15 years for his construction company. And every day on the job site, we listened to Christian radio.
Huh.
Every day, wherever we were working, whatever kind of station we could pick up, whether it was a American Family Radio or any of these Christian talk shows or just any kind of Christian station that we could pick up, we listened to it on the job site. And it used to drive me nuts. That was the lifestyle I was living. And then I would come to work every morning and then hear this message on the radio. And then not to mention the guys on the job site that made fun of me and my dad and other guys for listening to this music. And it really bothered me a lot. But at the time, I didn't even know that God was preparing me for something so much bigger. Because whenever the church asked me to start leading worship, I didn't feel like I could lead worship because I didn't feel like that was who I was. But the moment I led my first worship service, I told my wife, I said, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I said, because I've been hearing these songs for 15 years, and I know every one of them. I know every one of them by heart. You know,
wow.
I've been hearing it for so long that it was pretty much ingrained into me. And so the first time I led worship at church, it was the first time I really felt like I wasn't faking it anymore. And I was actually getting to be myself. I didn't have to put on a show. I could just get up there and close my eyes and sing a song and lead worship. And people were responding to it. And it was the first time I felt like God was using me for something. And I wasn't just trying to feed myself or my own ego or my own desires. And I mean, it's honestly I was completely happy with where I was in my life at that point, and things just continued to start happening.
We're here with Zach Williams on the road, the recording artist. You've almost certainly heard his song, Chainbreaker, the number one Christian song in America, taking over radio playlists everywhere. So here you make this decision to leave the touring band that you were with, which was quite successful. And I imagine when you did that, you felt as though you may be leaving music behind, at least when it comes to performance and recording, for good. But now, with this worship leading opportunity, things suddenly start to take place, and you find yourself back on a familiar path.
That's when the opportunity to come to Nashville came up. A guy heard me singing at church and invited me over to write a song, and we wrote Chainbreaker on like my third or fourth writing trip to Nashville, and all this happened in the matter of the last, 4 years. My life has just completely changed. It's still, I still feel like I have to pinch myself to see if it's real, because, I was talking to my wife last night. I got home from church. We were rehearsing for a service that I'm doing this Sunday, and I said, can you believe that this is what I get to do now? Like, I'm home with you guys. I don't have to get up and go anywhere tomorrow. I can spend the day with y'all. I'm going to be out on the road for, a couple of weeks, and then I'll be back home for a week or so. And, can you believe how different our life is compared to where we were 5-6 years ago? And it's constant turmoil and just always something going on, drama. And I said, God's just completely taken that and turned it into something that I get to go around now and share that story, and he's given me this platform to tell people how awesome he is and what he can do in your life if you truly just submit to him and ask him to come in and take control over the situations that you have going on in your life. When you can understand that you have no control over it anymore and you need his help, he's there. And that's the cool thing about it. We were actually just talking about on our way back from lunch. Well, I said, it's so cool that, when you understand and you truly get what God's done for you and that he sent Jesus to die on that cross because he knew that nobody could be perfect. When you can live in that freedom and understand that you don't have to be perfect, but God's already done it for you, there's so much freedom in that, knowing that it's all right to fail. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to fall, but he's right there with us through every one of those things to help us get back on track and pick us back up. And so for me, that song Chainbreaker is for me, it's just a living testimony of what God's done in my life. And he's doing it in a lot of people's lives. And I get to hear that all the time now from people. And I think it's been a reminder to other Christians who've maybe gotten to a place in their life that they kind of have just forgotten who God is and what he's done and how powerful he was in their life when they first accepted him. And I think that's why it's connecting with so many people, because we just need to be reminded that, he's a chain breaker. It's not me. I'm not the chain breaker. God's the chain breaker. I just, have been fortunate to be a vessel that he's using to reach people through this song. And it's been really cool. It's been a whirlwind, and I'm just excited to be a part of it, man.
Oh. Well, it's a joyous story to hear, Zach. It really is. Where you've been and the sense of purpose that you have, the people you're impacting through your music, it's just incredible. And I don't want to say farewell to you without letting us know where we can go to learn more about you, your story, to keep up with you, and, of course, to purchase that debut CCM record as well.
Yeah, so my website is ZachWilliamsMusic.com, and all my social media links are on the website. I have a email sign up you can sign up with to stay in touch with me. You can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Right now, the full record is only available on digital outlets, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, all that. It will be available January 27th at all major Christian retail outlets like Lifeway and Christian bookstores. I have seen that it's available for pre-order at Barnes & Noble. And then it's available out at any of my shows at the end of the month. I start the tour with Big Daddy Weave on January 25th, and that runs through the middle of March. And then I go out for Worship Night in America with Chris Tomlin for 2 months through the spring. And then I have a lot of festivals and fairs that I'm playing through the summer and still working on my fall tour, but shaping up to be a busy year.
Well, it sounds like it, sir, and we just wish you the very best. Thanks again for taking the time and for sharing your story that has just so much hope in it, sir. Keep up the great work. It was great to meet you.
I appreciate you having me. This was great.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.